Still going to raise that. Okay. The National Council of Jewish Women, Pittsburgh Section. This is oral history, an interview, tape 2, side 1, with Mrs. Sholem Posner. And this is Andy Weiss and Elaine Rosen are the interviewers. February 19th. 1985. Okay. Mrs. Posner, before we get into some of the parts of your life about being a young wife and right, there were some things that maybe, if you don't mind, because Elaine and I listened to the tape, that maybe you could clarify for us. Because, okay, like, I remember we talked a lot about your brother-in-law who was the dean of the school, the yeshiva, who was your brother-in-law, yeah. But we didn't mention his name. Could you tell us his name?
Heskel.
Okay, we'll come back. And when he went to Italy, his family was...
Well, you met up at
the dean.
He wasn't here.
He was killed in war. That was it. He was killed in World War II, right?
With Hitler.
Yes, in Russia. He was in Russia. Yeah. Okay. Your sister. His wife was also her. His name was Heskel, but we did his that was his last
first
name.
Okay.
Okay.
They remembered.
See?
Well, my mind is sometimes...
Well, sure, I forget, too. I forget everything.
It's a different type of forget.
You forget. Okay, so his name was Heskel...
Heskel Fagin.
Reb Heskel.
You used to call him Hatshe Fagin. Because Heskel is my daughter's husband was Heskel.
Yeah.
This one is Heskel. It's the same name, but the way you call him.
Different pronunciation.
Pronouncing differently. Then it's people, with the Hatshe Fagel, everyone will know, especially from the older people. Oh. Not from the younger, but the older all know him.
Then, yes.
When we came here, the Rebbe came here for a visit that time, 1930. Mm-hmm. So he came with him.
Yes, he came here in 1930, but then he went back to Russia. That's where we were.
In Poland, that time they were already in Poland. See, it was like this. When I was still there, then the Bolsheviki became more in power. Yes. So they arrested the Rebbe. They took him in the jail. And they held him for a good while, but the whole world got like this. And they were a little bit afraid, so they let him out. And he went that time in Poland. So he went with him. So my sister with the husband, the children, went with him. And they were in Poland until the Nazis came in Poland, so they went back in Russia. In Riga. They went back in Riga.
Yes.
Riga between.
Yes.
So in Riga, the Rebbe came out, and then he was killed.
Okay. The other thing that we were going to talk about, we wanted to talk a little bit about the revolution. Was it difficult for Orthodox people in the revolution?
The revolution, that was the main thing was the revolution.
Yes.
But like now, they didn't let older people were allowed to learn. They were allowed to learn. But children, they weren't allowed to learn. And to sit together, it weren't allowed, like it's a school. It was allowed. So they hide themselves. Like my husband was the time, and my brother-in-law was the top of the yeshiva.
Yes.
And when I came back from Odessa, so my sister said, come to me. Rostov-na-Don, you heard about Rostov? one of the big cities in Russia, Rostov-na-Don.
I didn't.
Don, the big.
Like a town or a village?
No, not a village. Water.
Oh, okay.
Port?
Like
a lake.
Like a.
A river. A river. Yeah. Boom, even boom. Bigger than ever. Rostov, it's one of the biggest.
Oh, on the sea. Is it on the Baltic Sea?
About smaller. Boats used to go back and forth. Yes. And it's a big city, one of the nice cities in Russia. And they hide themselves. They weren't, people don't know, don't see what going on. Until we went away, then from there they arrested the Rebbe from Rostov. And they sent him in jail. And
how long was he in jail about?
It wasn't too long, because here in the United States, all the lawyers were like this. It was all over the world.
All over the world. Everybody sent protests together. Because what did he do?
And that's what made him to let out. But he should go away from Russia. He shouldn't be there. So he went away in Poland, and he was there for a couple of years until they tried to
And then he came back. Oh, and then when Hitler came back, did the Rebbe go back to Riga too, or did
when Hitler came in Poland, they went to Riga. They came to Riga, and there they killed him. Him and the children, my sister and the children, and the other sister, the older one from Odessa. So he went together with the people who went to fight the.
The partisans,
the Bolsheviks. So he went with them, and he stayed there. She was a Christian woman, took her in the house until she heard once. People told us that neighbors told her, they were going to kill you too for keeping her. So my sister went away, she never came back. I don't know what's happened to her. They killed her. So one son we took away, when we went in Palestine that time.
Yes.
So we went through Odessa. So my sister said, take him away. He was 9 years old, the oldest son. Take him away because he'll become here a goy. So we took him, and he's in Palestine, in Israel.
And he's in Israel. And you'll see him, I guess, on your...
Yeah, now we're going there. We have already... So a daughter named after the mother, after my sister.
Yeah.
And one son was killed, you know, I told that first time. He went outside and went by the bear tree and electricity.
Oh. And you have a name for him too?
Well,
he has a name too, this?
I don't know, but maybe some of the children gave a name after him. He was That was on a Friday, and Sunday supposed to be his wedding.
Oh, and he was killed before
he was
wedding.
Killed.
Oh.
And it was, I think I told you the story. We bought, they weren't from. The daughter's son wasn't from. Like in Israel, and his wife was from a very religious family, but she also wasn't from. So she came also in Israel, and they got married. And they were very, very nice. They had a very nice farm. And when we used to come, we felt bad. We didn't eat by them like that. So we were talking, we were looking there. Usually coming there, we used to buy mezuzahs.
Yes.
So we had mezuzahs. So my husband goes around, no mezuzahs at all here. So he says, we have no mezuzahs. So we'll give you mezuzahs. So she says, you know what? Years ago, when the children were small, a brother of her was there. He was a religious man. And the child went out on the porch and he fell. He says, well, you know why he fell? Because your daughter doesn't have a mezuzah. Are you going to tell me all the same thing? I says, I wouldn't tell you that the child was worried about that, but I'll tell you that it can happen. When we brought her mezuzahs, my husband went and counted how much mezuzah we need. We went away. It was like on a Wednesday. when he's supposed to put down the mezuzahs right away, and he didn't put down yet until he left for Sunday. On Friday he was killed. He went out in the house, and he was killed by electricity itself. So I says that was the mezuzahs. I wouldn't tell her that.
No.
But that's
what you felt.
Yeah, that's what we felt.
This was this man. The person who was killed. This was your. It was in the family.
The son of my nephew.
The son of her nephew.
Nephew, what I brought from Israel.
He
got married and he had children.
And he wasn't religious.
So the child, the boy, got married. He had a college. Was supposed to get married. So he went out. When he was holding all the mezuzahs, and I told him, put it on right away, put it on. He said, all right, I will put it on. He meant it's been tomorrow, after tomorrow. Mm-hmm. And on Friday, they called me up that he's killed. It was
hard to believe.
Kali came to the rabbi. Mm.
Rabbi is a funeral.
The funeral.
Oh, God. Levaya is a funeral. Okay. I have to ask you, these are just some points that we wanted. Elaine wrote, did we have a story about the New Jersey on the tape, about the Kowal, and about when you didn't want to...
That was in Israel.
When
they wanted Rabbi Posner to study in the Kowal. Right.
Oh, right. That was in Israel. Yes. That's where we wanted to start. When you were in
Israel,
and they wanted him to study in the Kowal, and you didn't want to take charity. So how did you make a living? How did you live?
He went like all the workers in Istadrut. When he put himself, that's what they got scared in Israel and in Jerusalem. Istadrut is a very unreligious people.
Yes.
So they were afraid. He's also a young man. He'll turn also. So
he was a labor Zionist, the Istadrut. Right.
So they were afraid that he'll turn also. We're not people that we're giving up so easy. So he went to Istadrut and he put himself to work like Elder Chalutzim.
Yes.
They all was not from, and they looked at from people like this.
Yes.
So the better jobs they used to give the other people. But we didn't mind. I don't know why, we didn't care so much. I was thinking, it's a period. We have to go through that period in our life. That's not our life. Our life will be later. Our life will be good. Always, even now
it's as true as I think.
Yeah, it's always a nostalgia. That's why it keeps me all kept elevated. That's nothing what I have to do. What we did, he used to go there, and I took a few boys to make for them lunch. People hooting with waking that mashab. And once there was a neighbor, he has a big house, and people used to come to him, sleep over. He used to come over to me. I should wash some the beds,
the linen.
So I washed it. Once he needed it right away. So I was like, what should I do? I should blow on them. Do what you can. I said, I cannot do what you want. Yeah, I'll wash it now, hang it up, and I'll be ready. So I used to do that also. It didn't bother me. I didn't feel like doing something not nice for me to do. That's Israel. Here you have to make a living, you make a living forever. It didn't bother me. And when I told you the story, when I was singing, and I was always singing. Whatever I did. I was living in the mud, having my feet in the bathroom, washing dishes and singing. And a girl comes over, a neighbor. She also came from someplace, I don't know, then she got married, also a boy who got a family, they have a house, and have a stable, so now a stable wasn't bad, and I said that the house is for the kettles. We have also, and our house was to that kettle with the house, a place like this. My brother made two benches for sleeping and a table, and the daytime he was sitting at that, and the nighttime he was sleeping at it. And I told her, I was sitting, she goes by, and you understand Jewish?
A little.
Mein Huis ist schöner von, my style, where the kettle is, ist schöner von dein Huis.
It's better.
Und you're singing it.
And you're singing. Why are you singing?
I don't know if you understand the Yiddish. My, so a Kunz is not in a palace. It's a big thing to be in a palace. A parkrinte.
With a sour face. With a bitter face.
Stay here to sing. And that's what I was.
So you made lunches and you did washing and...
Everything. Wait. All this.
Hello, Russell.
Oh, we're not putting daytime, we're not putting
We're having a good time with
your wife.
No, we never put putting up.
Oh, okay.
Even but at night now we don't eat anything because our house is so black.
You can't get in from those things, even if you were.
But we never had the chain just at night. Heidi Framael. All right, I have gesehen. I have been to get to get. What?
The laundry.
Yeah, the laundry. Yeah, I was doing everything to do. I soaked it yesterday. So I meant yesterday to do it, but I don't know it at night. But we had something I couldn't do it. So it wasn't that I got up in the morning and he took out everything and
squeezed it up.
And my daughter cannot cook and he's cooking.
Did you teach him how to cook?
He knew for me.
He knew we had to teach him.
I know everything. He knows everything. You know, when we came here also, I do whatever I can for him. And he's doing everything what I can for me. So
nice.
When we came here, I worked here also plenty.
How did you come here?
How did you come? I just want to say, the rabbi was at first working with his Drud, and you were taking, and then eventually, what made him, did the rabbi want him to come to America?
Then I had the tape, I was begin pregnant already. So they came, they find out that they don't want to go in a kollel, so they look places where he can to do something. He's a sheikhed also.
Yeah.
So they come from Rishon LeZion. And they said there's an old sheikhet, an old man, and too much for him, he should come and help him.
Mm-hmm.
And meanwhile, there was one family, also Chassidim, like we are. So they want two boys, he should go on with them. So we gave up, we went away from here, and we went to Rishon LeZion. And
it's a village. Is that a village?
It's one of the nicest places there.
One of the first ones.
Yeah, this is from the oldest and Baron Rothschild make it. And they're making the wine there.
Uh huh. Oh yes, I know what. Where the Rothschild family and they did the winery.
It means first to Zion. Rishon LeZion.
Okay.
So it's a very nice place. Do special. What's that?
D.J. Rob have to wait 5 hours.
In Rome, we have to wait 5 hours in between planes. Here we have to give it because he wants to eat or something.
Oh,
do you want us to leave? Maybe you want to give the rabbi lunch.
No. Not long. She's not eating ever. Never eat lunch there.
She won't feed you that.
I'm not a baby. I should be. You mean as you have down the bag here? No, he's not. So we.
Was the main invasion.
All right. So we.
Okay. So we're saying the rabbi wanted.
So
he was teaching the boys in this nice village. Yeah.
Yeah, and they only hope that they helped the all the shaker.
Yeah.
And now, but the 5-6 months later, he died. So he took over the shkete. So we was there was a family very pretty rich they were there because that they when they made so it was from rich people they made the whole business there, and they were from the very beginning. So the family was very wealthy. They had already everything, cows and a beautiful house. And we used to buy from the milk. And then she says to me, she has a very nice cheese she want to give me. I said, I don't care. I don't want to take the cheese. I just said, I don't want it. Why? Tell me the reason. I says, we are good friends. They understand each other. When I don't feel that it's missing by me something to hold on, I don't want a cheese between us.
She doesn't want a cheese between us. Okay, I understand. Right, that's very good.
Milk I'm buying from you. Paying and I'm taking the milk. That's mine. The cheese you want to give my present.
She doesn't want a present.
And I don't want the cheese between us. And this is in our life even here. Because here also, you know,
people want to give for yourselves. I knew for the school it's one thing.
For the school, working a whole day or night to make gifts
for the school. Us,
give to the school so we're going to have enough for us. If we can take our wages, mm-hmm. so we have to live.
That's right.
Because the children, teachers coming for us, they all have big families with children.
Yeah.
And we are the only two of us, and we are having a little bit of
savings.
All the
a pension. Social security.
It's not a lot, but we're managing. We're taking a little bit. So the yeshiva also has a lot of money. So give to the yeshiva, we'll be able to take it, our money.
But right, I know.
My wife should take a donation to us.
That's right. No,
so it's by us from the beginning on, it was like this. From the piece of cheese.
From the piece of cheese on, it's so true. Yes, it's true. And then, so after that was that you were still in Israel. How many years did you live?
Five years. He was 40. He came out a year later. I was 5 years. He was 4 years.
And then, what made you decide to come to America?
Where we lived, so the school that was the windows from the school came in our yard, and I used to see the teacher with the children. Warning, we're at the port. They're very unreligious over there. Now also, but now there are a lot of religious people.
Yes.
That time it wasn't. We were the only, the rabbi and we, it was the only people there. So I was thinking to myself, where are we going to give our children? We have two little boys. What are we going to do? But he used to write the rabbi, everything was going on. He didn't complain, he didn't ask what to do, he just write what's going on. So the Rebbe answered them, if you have family in the United States, tell them they should send a visa. Mm-hmm. And you remember it was here, Posner's shoes, a shoe for little children to correct the feet.
Oh, orthopedic shoes, mm-hmm. I guess, for children. That's this in New York City?
In New York.
That was your
know.
Family.
Was that the family?
I think they said that his Zaydi's brother was Dr. Posner's shoes.
Oh.
His grandfather's brother.
Yeah. So so you wrote and asked them for visas to help you get a visa.
They sent us visas, they sent us tickets. We didn't have any money to come. But the second class we came, we didn't come in third class.
Oh.
Second class, you remember?
So that, and you came really because of your own children. They needed, there wasn't a religious education.
I don't know what he was thinking, how bad we. He was thinking about the Rebbe has to know what's going on by us. And he'll tell us what to do. And he'll tell us something to go away from there, to go away. If he wouldn't say anything, we would stay there. Yeah. That means if he wouldn't say we should go, that means that he's agreed that we can stay there.
Yeah.
But he told us to go, so we're going. But by me, I was thinking all what's about that.
Ah, I see.
But I didn't say anything. I was so whatever. I mean, he'll do whatever the Rebbe said, and I'm glad to do it.
And that's when you went to, you really went to New Jersey. Is that when you lived
We came in New York. And in New York, there was, in the family took us to them. What was it given down?
Montgomery Street.
Montgomery Street. Daughter of the Zaidi, that's his aunt, lived on Montgomery Street. So we went to them. Well, we stayed there for a while. They came to, they had three, four daughters married, the Zaidi, his grandfather. And some of them were bad, some of them, but they used to bring us money to live. So, of course, we just came, we didn't have any money, we take it. But if I had something, I used to take out the money and say, I still have it.
Goodbye. He knows the story.
I said, I know the story, I can go.
Nice to see you.
Oh, I love it.
So I used to take out the money what I had, and I said, I still have money. As long as I have money, I don't want to take more. I wouldn't have any more, I'll take more from you. So the ones they brought for the children toys, or for my husband, white shorts. He had blue shorts and colored shorts. In Israel, they used to wear colored shorts. So the toys I took away. I took for the children. The shorts, I got upset. Why they bought me shorts? He has shorts. He need white shorts. When he begin to work, I'll buy a white shirt. So when I go, I can wear blue shirt or yellow one, whatever it is. And one of the ends lived right across the hall. So I took the shirt and I said, why the other end bought? Why she bought me shorts? I don't need any shorts. He has shorts. It's not too terribly to go to wear this shirt. Until you get me, begin to work, I'll buy and buy shirt. So they took away the shirt and they were very nice, you know, very, very gentle. They took away the shirt and said, no, she didn't do it for you, she bought for my husband. She did a mistake, she bought for me. All right. So we
said, they didn't want to hurt your
my feelings. You knew that's not a bad feeling, so they didn't work for me. Very nice, they were very nice for us. Then it came a man from, a rabbi from New Jersey. He was a rabbi in New Jersey. Roselle Lindner, New Jersey,
near Elizabeth, New Jersey.
I mean, he was learning with him together. He was a rabbi there, and he was learning with him in the same place in Europe.
Ah.
So he says, we need a sheikh now. And he wants to take him with a sheikh. She says, who is sheikh in Genau? He says, he's not good, he's not a good sheikh, and I want you. So we went there with our two children, and I'm pregnant that time with Mrs. Berry.
Mm-hmm. No, you're pregnant with that.
We came there, and my husband went in shul, and he sees everyone comes out to him and give him shalom aleichem, but one man sits in Mizrach, you know Mizrach?
Yes.
And he doesn't look to him, he doesn't look, so he felt for it. He came over to him and gives him shalom aleichem, and he says, I'm wondering what Dr. Ibn Afarbegis, I'm angry at you. He says, why are you angry at me? He says, because it's my place, I'm shaking there, and now he's sending me away, without a reason, and they took you. He's like this, tell him I'm not going there. I'm not going even in place to see what there is going on. I'm not taking the place. Meanwhile, in shul, they saw that is a man handed to everything what you need in shul. He can develop the omed, he can blow the shefe, he can learn with children. And they didn't have anything there. They didn't have even a talmeter for boys. And when somebody, a boy had to become bar mitzvah, so they went to that sheikh, the old sheikh, they learned them, and he make them, that's all. So, with him, they see that it's a man that they can do something, so they didn't want to let him go. So what they did, they built to the shul, they made a little place on they said you buy chickens yourself and you share them yourself. And you sell them yourself. And I'm gonna
flick them.
Yes. And meanwhile, you're going to make a living, and then you'll see the camping.
No. I just want her to, that's okay, you can touch it. I just want her to make sure that we have enough on the other side.
So that's what they did. And they stayed there. They lived in a place. We lived downstairs, and see, we couldn't make a living, you know, from that.